Hot Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio, getting ready for a Canucks game day against the Dallas Stars as they close out a three-game roadie. Looking to make it a perfect three-game roadie are the Vancouver Canucks. We'll get to the pregame show in an hour's time as we broadcast to you from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step. This hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. It's going to be an interesting day today with the Canucks taking on the Dallas Stars, but the biggest news, and we'll get to the ramifications of it around the hockey world, not the Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee trade to the Calgary Flames, though that was a pretty interesting one last night. The salary cap and where it is headed. Big increases over the next couple of years. We'll dive into that topic in just a little bit. Let's bring in our next guest. This analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Mentor Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. It is former Canuck, Yannick Hansen. How are you?
Can't complain. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. The Canucks have a couple of wins, though the noise around Elias Pettersson and JT Miller hasn't died down all that much. It's just nice to see the team string together a couple of W's, Yannick.
Yeah, no question about that. It was well needed, well timed, just about everything. Again, they got the results. Players are performing like and having the game he did the other night there. I think that was one probably he needed more than everybody else. Hughes keeps delivering. But again, winning is healthy. It gives you some sort of, okay, can they pull through that? Or worst case, at least it means players are playing well, performing better. So if you're moving guys, hopefully it's not pennies on the dollars.
Yeah, and that's kind of the big thing. And obviously, everybody's still somewhat reeling after Jim Rutherford was very honest and candid about his team situation, especially Elias Pettersson and JT Miller. And, you know, we've seen GMs or presidents and organizations be honest about players, but maybe never quite the way Rutherford was, peeling back the curtain and really talking about, you know, in detail the issue between Pettersson and JT Miller. What was your takeaway when you heard Rutherford was just so candid about that situation publicly?
Yeah, we've obviously heard it before with players wanting out, GMs looking for trades, and it being no secret. I think the biggest thing here is the reason why, because in a perfect world, you wouldn't be dreaming about moving these two guys. You just signed to long deals that are supposed to be the backbone of your offense. So it's like, it's a little bit disbelief, to be honest. And again, I don't know if it's him throwing in the towels and say, okay, we can't fix this. So it's out there. Let's just not sugarcoat it anymore. It's not like it's a secret anymore. The other 31 teams knows it. The media knows it. Everybody knows it's going on. There's some truth and honesty. It's just not something we are used to on this level, because it is kind of like internal. It's stuff like this you'd like to keep behind closed doors. And obviously they have for a long time until it's blossomed up now to what it is. But there is something striking about a guy in his position coming out and, again, addressing something that in everybody's mind shouldn't be an issue at this level.
It is hard. If it's gone on for years, it's kind of hard to keep it under wraps, right? Because guys move on to different teams. You got guys that are coming over from teams and joining the Vancouver Canucks that still have ties to their old teams, and guys, players talk to each other all the time. So word's eventually going to get around, and it just felt like the worst kept secret. The bigger issue is, you know, how has this gone on so long and they haven't been able to figure it out? It just, you know, I know we've been over this so many times, but it does reek of immaturity from both of these players that it's gotten to this level, to this amount of public knowledge, and that they haven't been able to at least coexist on a team that should have aspirations of at least being a playoff contender and hopefully making some noise in the playoffs.
That's what kind of strikes me as well. Both of these two had opportunities, ample opportunities to say, no, I don't want to extend. I don't want to be here. Can't play with this guy. You sign this guy, I'm not staying. Petey could have said that many, many times last year at any given point. Yeah, would I have said no to $92 million? No, I would not have said no to that either. But again, if it was so bad that you cannot stand to be in the same dressing room, I can't play hockey, I hate hockey being in the same, I would have found a way out one way or another, or forced management's hand here. So again, they had opportunity. I think Rutherford mentioned that too, like these two guys, we had to sign them. It's not like you could just let them walk or anything like that, because you got to get something for them. And I get that. But again, then you got to, they're obviously hoping and praying that they will sort it out, because there's no question they bet on the right guys here. We've seen what they can do when things are at their best, and their ceilings are higher than the alternatives. So I get that part. The problem becomes when the problems become bigger, and now it's starting to impact the product on the ice. Now we're not winning because of X, Y, C, and Z, and all those things. So, I think there is so much frustration at every level at the club right now. I'm sure the players are fed up with it too, that they have to deal with it, that these two guys can't just bury the hatches and play hockey. And again, everybody is better for it. But sometimes egos are what egos are, and they're both clacking their heels in, and one's going to get moved. And then I guess we'll just see where everything lands once that's happening.
It's pretty clear that, it's not management seems to feel like there's blame on both players in this situation. And it's risen, I guess you could say, character flaws in both players, that they wonder that if they can win at all with either of them. So does trading one even fix it? Do you have to trade both? I mean, that's a pretty scary future if you were to move on from both of these players, Yannick, and still hope to have something that even remotely looks like it could have success in the near term.
Yeah, it's like you're throwing your plans up in the air, and then a blank sheet land, and now we got to find your number one and number two centers in order to contend. Obviously, you're clearing up $20 million in cap space. Is it Mikko Rantanen, and you go out and sign in the summer, and then fill one of those spots with him, kind of thing? Is he going to be available? But that's kind of the easy path. Does he want to come here? But like you mentioned too, if I'm sitting in the GM chair here, and there's these two guys that can't coexist, if I'm getting anything remotely close to value for those two, it's both of them. Neither of them deserves, in my opinion, to be the one, okay, the other guy was wrong, so we're booting him out of there, and now you're going to start playing better because of it. I don't like that. Because again, what happens next time? Right. And that's why it's so scary to start letting individual players dictate the direction of the team. I can't play with that guy. You got to trade him or I won't play good. It's the scariest thought to me right here is we moved JT because, again, he's older. Upside on PD is better. He can be an elite center. We moved JT, get somewhat decent return for him. Now PD starts putting up 110 points average all of a sudden. Are you telling me he just didn't want to play because JT was in the dressing room? I don't want him on my team then. Because that part of, like, what happens the next time he doesn't like somebody? Then he stops playing all of a sudden. And that's the, like, how do we maneuver this part? I don't think it's that simple to say, okay, you move JT and all of a sudden PD is the player we saw a year ago. But it's a scary thought.
Yeah, I'm with you on that too, right? Because and it's no secret at this stage that when Travis Green got let go, a big reason why was Elias Pettersson, because it wasn't working with Pettersson, right? So now with Tocchet, it's very clear they're not going to make the coach the sacrifice to try to make it work this time with these two players. And if you are the organization and if you are moving JT Miller and you are moving Elias Pettersson, is there a real path forward, or do you think they have to, do you either keep both or trade both? Is that essentially what you're saying? Like, you either keep both or trade both?
That would be my preference, because if we're going down this one, and it is a nuclear solution, because you're not getting anything back remotely, I think that will fit the needs of us being still a contender that we're considering ourselves to be. So if you do that, you're going to clear up the cap space, which means all of a sudden, like I mentioned, you have $20 million to spend now on your number one and number two centers. So you have the cap space. Are the players available? Can we find them through trade? No, nobody's given up these guys unless there's a hiccup or something attached to them, like we're talking about. So then we're talking UFA, where obviously you're going to have to overpay. But again, how many times do these legitimate players come up that, okay, this is the guy we want. We're lucky enough to land him, and he's coming here. It's so many ifs. I get it. You trade JT and PD, you're going to get a ton of stuff back. There's no question about that. Picks, prospects, players, but you're not getting number one and number two centers back. So you have to go find those. Like I said, you have the cap space, you have the money available. So it's somewhat doable if there is, again, these players, are they coming up? And that's obviously the grunt work, what the organization has to do. And is, like I mentioned, who are the UFAs? Who can we get? Who's going to be available in July? Because you can probably toss this season up to and then say, better luck next year if you're moving those two.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, that. Yeah, they're on the three-game win streak and they're still battling for that final playoff spot. And, you know, it's not like Calgary is the best team around. Like the second wild card spot could be up for grabs, even if you do trade one of Miller or Pettersson before the trade deadline this year. It just makes it that much harder to get into that spot. But, you know, it really changes how we view this team, because, yeah, it almost feels like a bit of a lost season already, Yannick.
And you've, again, there hasn't been a lot of positives. So let's not say we're wasting all of these things. No, you're wasting a phenomenal season by Quinn Hughes. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. What he's doing is worth the price of admission almost to go to the Canucks games these days, because it's amazing to see. He will still be here next year. Again, goalie situation needs to obviously be sorted out. Defense needs to be sorted out. But those questions just dwarfs compared to the elephant in the room right now. It needs to get sorted before we can start looking at adding a winger or adding whatever it is we need to feel like that now we're in the same conversation as Winnipeg, Vegas, Edmonton, for that matter. Because we have this thing that until that's solved, and whether that's solved internally by the two players or by management, we can't do anything until that's done.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned about Pettersson, and if all of a sudden they trade JT and he plays a lot better, and how that doesn't say good things about him. But what about what the organization has pointed out now? Tocchet alluded to this during training camp, and Rutherford was very clear about it, talking about how Pettersson didn't have the offseason they wanted, didn't come into camp with the shape and the determination they wanted to see from him. They're prodding and pushing him constantly to work harder and do more off the ice. What does that kind of tell you? And is perhaps that the bigger reason as to why they want to move off the player, that they may feel like he doesn't have the desire after signing the contract?
Again, you got to look at your players and say, is this a guy we can win with? End of the day, we want to win a Stanley Cup. Does he meet the criteria? And again, if they're starting to see cracks in the armor, a year ago when we sat here, I would have said yes, because there were nights where he dominated. He was, you'd mentioned McDavid, and then Petey was right after that. Then he signed his contract. It started going a little bit downhill, and to the point where in the playoff, he's just there. He's not providing anything, and that's kind of what carried over. And like I said, the sample size is large enough right now where it's a little bit concerning that it's so long it's been going on. It's not just a short stretch. Oh, his winger is not that good, or is not producing when he sets him up. No, it lands on Petey himself. And if the organization starts making these questions, whether or not he's one you can win with, then there's no question. The next step is then we're talking about moving him and see if we can get something in return. And again, Petey does have value. Other team will jump to get him because he's young. He's proven he can play. And you're sitting there thinking, oh, he just needs a fresh start. and that's kind of the hopeful thing. If you're bringing him in again, you might be a little bit worried about what's in your dressing room and how is he going to coexist with those guys. But again, the upside is still there in the sense that he's 26 years old and has done some pretty remarkable things in a young career in this league. So again, there's just so many questions here that I wish we'd get some answers to sooner rather than later, because again, all we really want to see here is a team on the ice that are seemingly pulling in the same direction and giving us hopes and dreams that a Stanley Cup can come to Vancouver.
Well, and you know, the other elephant in the room is you got to do all this and juggle all these pieces while selling a future to Quinn Hughes, who's eligible for a contract extension in just a little over a year's time. He will be next summer, next offseason, he'll be eligible to sign an extension with the Vancouver Canucks. So, you know, it's really tough to move off both of those players, and where it could look like in a year's time. It doesn't give you a ton of room for error, and it puts the Canucks in a spot where you've got to make it work. You don't have 2 years to figure this out. You've got basically one offseason. If you trade Miller and Pettersson, you've got one offseason to flip this thing around and put it into a direction that Quinn Hughes can buy into as well.
Yeah, again, if he decides, no, this is not where I want to be, you're not even back to square one. You're imploding on yourself. So there's no question about that. Yeah, you're at that point. And we've talked about this elusive window for the last 3 or 4 years now. It's there, and we can see it. You have the players on paper. Some of them are doing theirs, some aren't. But you have the players to build around that you can form and shape yourself into a legitimate contender. Now, for various reasons, again, injuries kind of kept them down a little bit this year. Lack of performance from key players to the point where we're not where we want to be. But they're still there. And you look at the Canucks, and if Demko finds the form that we know he's played at and he plays like he did the other night, Quinn continue what you do, doing what he does, like, you can win with that. We don't need a whole lot more than that. Now, that's the tantalizing part about this, because if JT and Petey starts picking up the slack, like, you will be a legitimate contender overnight, and you could probably add to this team. Again, you have no contracts coming up in the near future here that's going to throw your budget off the reins. We saw the cap going up over the next couple of years, an obscene amount to what it looks like on value. Even though if you want to re-sign Brock, he's not going to tilt it, because he's not going to make that much more than he makes now. So you have, like you mentioned, you have 2 years until another contract comes up that's going to blow everything else out of the water. But until then, you can add to this team that are at the right age, still have all the horses, and all you need to find is the right mix in order to get them humming. So again, you're sitting here and then you're praying that they will figure it out and that you don't have to trade these two players and that they somehow find a reason to coexist and play at the level that we come to expect them, because that is the best solution. It is the wishful solution and it is the hopeful solution.
I think we all have a ton of respect for how Rick Tocchet is changed where this club was in the last couple of years. But now that things haven't gone as well, and besides the obvious issues that have gone on with the team, the common critique we get from listeners and fans of the team is Tocchet's playing too conservative of a style, too much dump and chase. Of course, they can't generate any offense. Their coach is not asking them to generate any kind of an offense. Do you feel that, where are you on Rick Tocchet and how the offense hasn't clicked this year in the way that it did last year?
So coaches don't take away your creativity. They don't like doing that. They love the creativity. The creativity has to be done at the right place. So they hate turnovers. They hate the bad plays through the neutral zone around the blue line. As soon as you're in the zone, below the hash marks and stuff like that, you are free to play. Now, would we like to see these rush chances back and forth? Yeah, of course. But it's not that easy to do, because everybody else defend against it. You know, it's easy offense. So no coach is going to kill your offensive instincts. They're all just making sure third man above. So when you're playing against a team, they're trying to defend against everything you want. Easy offense, easy chances, and all those things. So I don't believe in any coaching going out and saying, like, we don't want to create offense. We just want to tie this down and 1-1 and then see what happens. No, like, the problem becomes when we start cheating for offense and we give up two or three chances in order to get our one chance. That's not proper math, and that's where some of that comes from. And we've seen the result of that. Yeah, we've played some very, very fun and high-event hockey under Bruce Boudreau and under Travis Green where they just got to go. But it did not lead them to anywhere. You're not going anywhere, and when the toughing gets tough, and scoring goes away, you still bleed those goals. So it's not like you can fault it on a coaching staff or a coaching style. No, the players come out, they execute. It's their skills that's going to create the chances and stuff like that within the structure of the game. So I'm not a big believer in those sayings that certain coaches, they don't believe in offense and stuff like that. Of course, I've played against teams like that where you felt like that. Minnesota a while back when we were playing, right, to name a few. But again, their roster, that was the way they were. They weren't a team that were filled with high event guys or stuff like that. They had Gaborik who could fly, but after that, it was tied down, and then we hope he gets it done for us. So it's more so like your roster kind of dictates the way you play. And then again, the roster got to execute.
Mm-hmm. And before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about Myers with Hughes and how good Myers has looked the last couple of games. Do you think they've found something there, having both those guys, Hughes and Roenick, on separate pairs and having Hughes play with Myers?
Yeah, again, Hughes and Roenick are so good together. But again, it leaves a little bit of a void when they are. Myers was missed in that suspension. I know it was only three games, but he was missed. They're not deep enough on D to avoid or to live without any of these guys for any period of time. And again, if Hronek can anger a pairing by himself, it would be phenomenal because, again, it would take a little bit of load, share some of the ice time again. And it also gives those two, Hronek and Quinn, some bigger bodies to play with. So when pushing and shoving in front of the net, it doesn't have to be them. It can be Myers, it can be Susie, or whoever is on that pairing as well, would add some weight in our own end. So it's not the worst idea, as long as the creativity and the offensive side doesn't suffer, because again, we do need it from those guys.
Yannick, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for this.
My pleasure. Take care, guys.
There he is. Yannick Hansen joins us every single Friday. He is a presentation of the Magnuson Auto Group. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. We've got the Open to get to, which we will, and there's a lot to discuss with the salary cap projections for the next three seasons coming out. And not just projections, but an agreement, although there is some wiggle room in the agreement to change the numbers that were released today. This is where it's headed, a smoothing of the cap over the next 3 years, and it may change things quite a bit moving forward for how the short and long-term look for the Canucks and the rest of the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and I know people have mentioned that, what about if the economic landscape changes? And obviously those can always have impacts on it. But
if hockey-related revenue changes drastically, then...
Yes.
And maybe this is not going to happen.
But this is not set in stone, but because it's an agreement, it's pretty close to it. So don't expect the changes to be more than somewhat marginal, right? And we'll get into that a bit more on the other side, but it does create a lot of different possibilities here, right?
Yannick was pretty adamant that the situation has gotten to a point where it's really hard to buy into a future with either Pettersson or Miller. Like, you can't trade one, the other starts playing well, because it sort of speaks to a character flaw in the player that, and essentially Elias Pettersson, if Miller were to get moved and Pettersson looks like the player you always thought he was and starts scoring at 100-point pace again and does all these great things, what does that tell you about Pettersson? And is there a situation in the future that could arise again where he has disagreements with teammates and all of a sudden turns into a pumpkin again because of it? I think those are very real questions that you have in all of these discussions of where the future is with the Vancouver Canucks with either Pettersson or Miller or neither of these two.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with them, and we'll get into this more on the other side, but, you know, like, Rutherford wasn't just threatening.
Yeah.
You know, like, this stuff is real, and even though he mentioned they'd like to hold on to both players, you know, that there isn't a lot of runway for them to prove that they should be here, right?
Yeah. The runway is... Well, you can almost see the end of the runway is pretty much where we're at right now with both of these players. And just a week to go until the break for the Four Nations face-off. All right, it's San Rico Sat, T.R. Shaw. We'll get into more of this discussion coming up next on Sportsnet 650.